In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, God made human beings in the image of God. Male and female, he created them, and it was good. And pretty much ever since that moment when God created us in God's image, we've been trying to do our best to reverse that process, trying to create God in our own image. It happens here to Jesus in the 6th chapter of John. Now, Jesus has admittedly been saying some very strange things, that he is the true bread of heaven, that they should eat his flesh and drink his blood. I mean, that's weird to hear from the guy who grew up in your neighborhood, right? That's a strange thing for them to be saying. So the disciples push back and say, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" And when Jesus doesn't pull away from those statements, many of his disciples, quote, turned back and no longer went about with him. It sounds like what happened here is that these folks were interested in following Jesus as long as they could make Jesus out in their image, so long as he was what they wanted him to be. Because who wouldn't want to follow a guy who went around healing people, walking on water, and handing out free meals? You'd follow him just to see what he was going to do next, wouldn't you? But when Jesus challenged what they thought they knew about God and how God provides for humanity, some of those who had been disciples simply would not let themselves be moved. If Jesus wasn't going to play by their rules, they were out of there. And surprisingly for me, at least, Jesus doesn't seem to do much to try to win them back. He already told them the truth, and when they can't hear it, he doesn't do backflips to try to convince them to stay. They leave because Jesus is not what they were looking for in their lives. So continues the trend of people looking for a God who will be what they want out of God, who will say what they want to hear, instead of our God, who through Jesus calls us to follow in the way of self-sacrificing love. It's these would-be disciples again trying to make a God in their own image. This is so tempting for us, especially maybe these days, because now there are thousands of denominations out there, millions of preachers probably. So if you don't like what you're hearing from your church, what's to stop you from going out there and finding a church that tells you what you want to hear, right? We do this in so many aspects of our life now. We go to the restaurant that cooks the food the way we like it cooked, right? We order the product online that is exactly what we're looking for, and if they don't have it in the store, well, we know where we can find it. We watch the news network that tells the version of events that we want to hear. So we are well-versed. We're used to this, shopping around for what we want out of a situation. But the problem is that what we want is not always good for us, right? The fried food every meal might taste delicious, but it will wreck you eventually. A steady diet of only the talking heads that already agree with what I have decided is right, well, it creates an echo chamber and isolates me from somebody who sees things differently, and it risks losing the truth. Worst of all, a God created in my image or yours is not a God who can save us. I don't think there's much disagreement out there that this is a world that needs saving, because if you've lived in it for any amount of time, you know that, you've seen it. So the good news for us is that we have a Savior who is up to the job. Jesus, with all his shocking behavior and strange, even offensive teaching, Jesus is God's answer to this messed up world. That's what the ministry, the death, and resurrection of Jesus is all about: saving, restoring, and in the fullness of the kingdom, making right all things that are wrong in this world. The gods we make in our own image, they can tell us what we want to hear, but they can't do that. They can't make it right. All they can do is make us more certain that we are right, because the God we've created is on our side. But at some point, we realize, I hope, that that is not enough, that nothing we have created can save us. We yearn for more than that. We need more than that. And praise be, we have a God who can meet the enormity of human need, who can bring healing to all creation, who is ushering in the restoration of all the world in Jesus Christ. And what's more, God does all of this not based on our own deserving, but based on a gracious love for us. But here's the thing about God doing all of this. None of it happens our way. It happens God's way. And God's ways are strange. They feel bizarre to us. Eat my flesh and drink my blood? That's weird, right? Jesus tormented and suffering, death on a cross? That's not how I would ever do it. But then again, we've already acknowledged that I can't do it at all. So we're left with God's strange ways that we struggle to understand, the way that chooses self-sacrifice, the way that chooses love. We're invited to be a part of what God is doing here and now in self-sacrificing, loving ways, caring for the poor and the lowly, welcoming the stranger, feeding the hungry, working for healing in the world. That's what Jesus' ministry looked like, and that's our calling. And based on the way that Jesus talks, the strange and offensive things he's been known to say, maybe we shouldn't be surprised if being faithful to that calling makes us and others around us uncomfortable. Jesus himself had a whole bunch of disciples walk out on him. But traditional measures of success don't apply here, because God is doing something new, something that death itself can't stop. In the great C.S. Lewis novel, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, there's a wonderful section of the book where one of the heroes is about to meet Aslan, who's the Christ figure in this book, and her guide is giving her some background about Aslan before they meet. And the guide says, "Aslan is a lion, the great lion." "Ooh," says Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "Safe?" says her guide. "Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he is good. He's the king." And this is how it works for us when it comes to following Jesus and working for God's kingdom. The teaching is difficult. The call is demanding. Other people may not like it, and by no means is it safe, but it is good. Peter recognizes this goodness. When Jesus asked the 12 if they're going to leave too, he says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Through Jesus, God has acted to make that eternal life a reality for us. And from there, we decide what our response to the love of God will look like. Anybody remember the old Bob Dylan song that's been covered by several folks since then? You're going to have to serve somebody, right? Will we serve ourselves, making a God in our own image who doesn't restrict us but also cannot save us? or will we serve the challenging, uncomfortable God of eternal life who loves us to lay it on the line? You're going to have to serve somebody. In the words from our Old Testament reading, choose this day who you will serve. Amen.